And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will teach you the four spiritual laws, and you will learn to read Greek and Hebrew, and quote the New Testament, and get all of your theology straight. Clean up your act. No, that's not what it says, does it? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and John. They were both the sons of Zebedee. They're there with their dad and their father, mending their nets. And he called to them. And again, immediately, there was no debate. He left the boat and their father and followed him. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now that that you will speak to us. God, I pray that Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And God, I just pray you'll open our eyes today. Open our eyes to the simplicity of the gospel. In your name we pray. Amen. In 1971, a small child was born, Anthony Nola. He was born in 1971. He was born with a disease. And the only way to cure the disease was to have a bone marrow transplant. All right? Now, in 1971, the only way they did that was to check your family. So they went around to all his family members, this young boy who needed this bone marrow transplant, and they checked all his family, and nobody was a match. Nobody was close to being a match. Well, this case was the first one in history that they went outside the family unit and they found a donor that was a match outside the family unit. It was the first time that they took bone marrow from a non-family member and transferred it into that kid. And he was healed. The disease was solved. Now the mother was so moved by that she said, I don't want anybody else to have this much trouble. She was aware of the need. Are you listening to me? She could have just been happy. Oh, my son's there. And been self-focused and self-conscious and all worried about themselves. Instead, she said, I've had a miracle. I think I'll help somebody else have a miracle. And so she put together the Anthony Nola Trust, which is now still used today. It is a database. It's not money. It's a database of donors, of people that are willing to donate their bone marrow. And so right now, because of this mother, just a simple mother who saw the need her child walked through, decided to make a difference. And what is happening now, millions of people around the world are being healed because mama decided to do something. Mama decided, she saw the need and said, you know, I can help put that together. And all of a sudden, I'm sure this is way bigger than she ever thought, because people are using it all around the world. Their kids, people being healed. And you say, well, that's a nice story, Brother Allen. That's not supernatural. Oh, I beg to differ. Oh, you foolish person. Let me tell you something. If your kid's sick, you don't care where the healing comes from. You thank God for it. Amen. Amen? You thank God for it. If you're praying there, pray. Listen, there are people out there crying out to God for a miracle for their child, and this mama set it up where they could experience a miracle. Don't tell me it's not supernatural. Amen? Now, we've been talking about servant kings. We talked last week. Elisha, you might want to bring this down just a little bit. Seems loud. Or either up here loud. We talked about which kingdom do you want to be known for? Which kingdom do you want to be great in? Greatness in the kingdom of God is defined different than greatness in the kingdom of this world. Now the decision is, which kingdom do you want to be great in? And we learned that, first of all, to be great in the kingdom of God means we're going to be servants. But we're going to serve as kings. You got to remember who you are. You got to know who you are. You got to remember, we talked last week, I've got to minister out of kingship. Why? Because if I minister out of something else, I'll always have a motive. If I help you because I want something in return, I got a hidden motive. But when I got everything, I'm a child of the Most High God, I don't need nothing from you, then my motives are pure. Do you see that? We've got to remember who we are. We've got to remember that kings serve. Service makes us look like Christ. Now, I want to continue on with that, and I want to make this as simple for you as I can. I want you to walk out of here knowing what God expects from you. If you are a Christian, if you are a long-term Christian, I mean, you got saved, been saved over 10 years. You long-term. I want you to know it's time to get your butt in gear. Shift that thing in gear. Quit riding in low drag. Every time in Scripture, if you are studying Scripture, when something new is introduced, you need to pay attention to that. Because the way God introduces things new is His thoughts on His mind carries through. All the way through. Are you hearing me? Jesus shows up. He's finally stepping into ministry. All right? After 30 years. And here's what he walks among the people and starts pointing people out and saying, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. If Jesus Christ was here in the flesh, I believe he'd still be doing the same thing, looking at men and women saying, follow me. Follow me. See, the problem is, he wants to take you on a journey that's worth taking. Most of us are living lives that are not worth living. You're going to get to the end of your life and have all kinds of regret. That is not the way the king's children should act. We are to live a journey that's worthy of a servant king. We are to live a journey that's worthy of the one we're following. I am not. I just correct me if I'm wrong. Jesus didn't do the good and evil, the Force, Star Wars thing right before evil took over. He sneaks a win out. No, Jesus Christ won going away. He made a public spectacle of Satan. He embarrassed him and continues to do that. I mean, Jesus is winning, and our lives should be part of that if we're going to follow him. Now, what happens to us, this is where we get, I don't have time to preach about this, this is where we get all confused. We want Jesus, we meet Jesus and have an experience with Jesus, and then we want to look at him and go, Jesus, follow me. Jesus, bless my stuff. He wants us to live a life that's worth living, a life that is worthy of the one that I'm following. How do we do that? Well, we got to do it as servant kings. Okay, brother, I got it. How do I become a servant king? I am so glad you asked that question. I am so excited. Are you ready? I'm going to make it so simple that we could teach this in children and they get it. Number one, For all you note takers, and if you're looking at your phone, make sure you look at your phone, not the weather, and not ordering lunch before you get out. You got to be aware. This is hard, isn't it? This is rocket science. You got to be aware. If I am a servant king, I cannot walk around with my head down. People that worry about their own life miss the people around them. I'm going to preach this till you get it, so you better start saying amen. You cannot be self-focused and self-centered and be aware of others. I didn't even know that they were thinking that. And you worked with them for 20 years. I never knew that. What they're telling you is, you're walking through life like this. Oh, what do I got to do today? I'm doing this. Oh, God, please bless me. Get them people out of the way. Bless me, you know. Oh, God, take care. I got this problem. God, when are you going to deliver me from this problem? When are you going to heal me? All this stuff. And we're navel-gazing and missing the opportunities around us. We're a bunch of navel-gazers, got our head up our own butt. Why? God, where are you? Well, he's out there. He's saying, follow me, but you can't follow nobody when you're paying attention to your own self. I'm self-conscious. Look at one of the greatest stories is Jesus shows us how to do this in Luke 19. You remember this? We relegate it to a kid's story, but it's a great story. I'm going to have all of you shouting, yes, God, do it again. Watch this. Luke 19, he's saying, he goes, you don't have to put it up there. I'll tell the story. I like the story. Jesus is doing miracles. People are following about him. Man, his reputation is growing. Our reputation should be growing. In a good way. Let me make sure I said that right. Jesus is coming to town. There's this tax collector that had been stealing money from people. Tax collector. Yeah. IRS. Been stealing money from people. All this stuff. He got the Roman government. He's a Jewish guy, but he's got the Roman government behind him. And he's a short man. He's got small man syndrome. You know, he's a short man and wants to be big. Well, Jesus is coming to town, and all of a sudden, people gather thronging around everywhere, and Zacchaeus couldn't see him. They wouldn't let him see him. He's short man. He couldn't see him. So he climbs up a tree. Remember the song? How many of you remember that song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Remember that? And a wee little man was he. Come on, all you religious spirits, sing with me. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Going to your house. Do y'all remember that song? Bunch of pagans didn't go to church when you were little, man. What's wrong with you? Anyway, see, we get all thinking, oh, that's so cute. Watch the kids little do the thing. I probably ain't quite as cute as the little kids doing it. But you forget the miracle. The miracle is Jesus has thousands of people all around him, grabbing at him, wanting to do, but he's aware. And he looks up in the tree and he sees this man up there, and the Holy Spirit says, that one, right there, that one. And he goes to his house, and guess what happened? The Bible says salvation came to his house. And the tax collector said, he got saved. Listen, you know what? And look, you don't have to preach on money that much, I'm telling you. Because when God gets your heart, everything you got's his. And he says, I know I've been a thief. I'm going to return all the taxes I stole. Yes. Hallelujah, Lord, do it again. Wouldn't it be awesome if the government got up tomorrow and said, we're abolishing the IRS. We're going to send all of you a check back. Yes. Hallelujah. Well, why not? Why not? See, that's the problem right there. God got a hold of that guy. And the whole city was blessed because Jesus was aware of his surrounding. See, when you realize Father's got me, God, you're going to take care of me. You'll stop wasting all your time. See, most of you spend all your time praying about yourself. Oh, God, I got these problems. I'm sorry, God. Help me, Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. I don't know what they are, but forgive me, Lord. I'm poor, wayfaring stranger. You know, all these things. And we waste our time gazing at our own self and not aware of the needs around us. We're not aware. Do you understand that you cannot have your head down? It always is in insecurity, worry. As a king and queen in a joint heir, like we talked about last week, in the kingdom of God, I can do something about it. I can do something about it. Look at me. I can do something. You can do something about it. Well, we can just pray. Well, that's pretty big in the kingdom of God. I can do something about it. What did he say? See, you forget when he said, follow me. What was he talking to his disciples about when the 5,000 people came up? What did he tell them? You feed them. And then he sent them out in the 70s. He said, okay, you guys go do healing, cast out demons. You do it. He was saying, look, you're kings. You're servant kings. Now you go serve the community. You do it. And one of them said, well, brother, Jesus, this is so... Jesus, like some of you do. Well, Jesus, all I got is these 5 loaves and 2 fish. That'll be enough. Amen. It's not what we bring to the table. He's just waiting on us to step out. He's just waiting on us to look. Do you understand? He said, you feed them. You heal your city. I am here. You should say this. I am left here. If all it was about was going to heaven, why don't we get them saved and kill them and send them on? If that's all it's about, just hanging on, I'm hanging on till Jesus comes. Oh God, the devil, the devil. When God said, I am leaving you here to enforce my victory. I am here to enforce his victory. Now, I don't mean I'm going around whipping everybody or doing stuff or making people convert when they don't want to convert. All that. No, you got to remember what kingdom I'm fighting in. Thy kingdom, the law is love. Love never fails. We want to win the sea. We got to love them. You do it. Yeah. Little kids speaking in tongues over there or something. I'm interpreting. You do it. Number two, when I understand, and I start looking around, and I get my head, okay, God. When I start following him, all of a sudden, see, people try to get this through people laying on hands, through their knowledge, through all this stuff. They try to get authority, but authority comes when I follow him. Because when I follow him, that means that I am walking in his authority. Do you understand that following him means I am working in his authority? And I don't see a lot of this. Most people I know pray out of fear. I mean, I just want to be honest. I hear their prayers and they're just motivated. Oh, God, please don't let that happen. Oh, God, please turn our city around. Oh, God, turn our nation around. Oh, God. Instead of, I am following you, and God says, pray for your nation, pray for your neighbor. And you start realizing, I have authority on the word of the king to pray for my neighbor and to stand in the gap for my kids. And the authority, when I am following the king, I walk in his authority. I don't mean I have to yell. Now, I'm yelling now because I'm excited because we win. But, I mean, you don't have to yell. You don't have to be loud to be anointed. I'm just loud. I don't have to be anointed. I'm just loud. But you understand that when I walk in authority, no matter how loud I am, it matters who I'm following. And when I follow Christ, understand that I walk in His authority. Amen. Amen. That means when I follow Christ, you just an example. When I follow Christ as the head of my household, God said I was to lead my household. That means nothing has more authority in my house than me. Why? Because I'm walking in His authority. That means when demons start to come in and things start to happen and my children wander off from the Lord, I can stand in the authority and say, no way, Satan, are you going to get my house and my children, because God said, I'm the authority and I ain't letting you in. Amen. It's just that simple. Are you following Him? Are you aware of what's going on? Well, I love this story. It's a funny story. I love the Bible because it's got great stories in it. That's not the only reason I love it, but Acts 16, verse 7. Paul was following Christ. Are you listening? He's following Christ. See, first of all, I hope you believe there's demons. I mean, if you don't, man, wow, are you screwed up? I mean, there's angels, there's demons. All right, we're fighting a spiritual warfare. But I don't go looking for them. But when they get in my way, that's when I deal with them. Amen. When I'm following Christ and all of a sudden the demon's in front of me, like some of you are battling demonic strongholds in your life, generational curses, it's in front of you and you can't go no further until you better start following Christ and get the authority. Quit waiting for Jesus to come down and do something else. He seemed to think it's finished. He seemed to say that. I think he thinks he did it. So what's the problem? Look what happened. Paul's walking. He goes, now it happened as they went to pray that a certain slave girl came with a spirit of divination. And she, listen, let me just say this to you. Palm readers and what's the other word for them? Fortune tellers, all those things. Psychics. Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are real. They really are tapping into the spirit world. Absolutely. Satan is not a creator. He's an imitator. That's why you don't ever submit yourself to one. Because you're submitting yourself to the other side. This little girl who was making money by her master, she was telling fortunes and got a slave girl and he was making money off of her. Well, Satan recognizes authority too. Look what happened. This girl followed Paul around, so crying out, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Do you understand? Satan knows more about Jesus than a lot of us do. Yeah. He recognized. Yeah. And this girl walks around, look at heaven. And she did this for many days. I mean, that's aggravating. At best. Look what Paul did. I command you. He greatly annoyed. I love that. I thank God that he put that in there. So when I get greatly annoyed, I'm not necessarily sinning. Right? He does say, be angry and sin not. It's what you do with your anger is when we cross the line. Right? But Paul turns around there and said, look what he said to her. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. In that very hour, she was healed. Now, that's authority. Now, they did get arrested for that because the guy that owned her was out of business. He wasn't going to make no more money off of her because the demon had been cast out. It was telling stuff. Authority. Why are we not praying like this? I'm not telling you go out and chase every demon. Don't fight every battle. But when a demon shows up in my face, why do we not understand that we have the authority given to us by Jesus? The reason is because most of us are wandering on our own agenda, and there's no authority that builds in us that way. But when I am walking in where God wants me to walk and He's leading me, I'm telling you that I have the authority of the King of the universe to speak to whatever comes in my way. Amen. Amen? We've got to learn. You have been given His authority. You have been given His authority. When I follow Him, He gives me authority in the spirit world. He gives me authority in the spirit world, and it comes when you know I'm a servant king. I'm not doing this to get anything out of this. I'm doing it because the love of Christ has conquered my soul, and I am compelled. When you start functioning like this, all of a sudden authority builds up. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He understood authority. Satan understands authority. Are you listening to me? Some of you, Satan is beating the snot out of you with fear, with worry, with anxiety. And the whole time, Jesus has already delivered you. He's just waiting for you to rise up. And when you start walking in that authority and you start following Jesus, who are we actually following? The body of Christ? No. Who are we following now? Who is piercing your heart? Who leads you now? It's the Spirit. When I'm walking as a servant king, I'm following Him, I'm using His authority, all of a sudden, the spirit world is unlocked to me. It unlocks things that I could never do myself. That's why you got to be spirit led. You got to have a relationship. Look at this verse in Acts. It says that Acts 16:7, and they came to that place and they tried to go into that place, but the Spirit did not permit them. Everybody look at me. I cannot meet every need. You cannot meet every need. The Spirit will lead you and give you and point things out to you. We can meet every need. Does that make sense? So I've got to be spirit-led. I've got to follow Christ, and Christ will give instruction to Denise and give instruction to me and Emily and all this. He'll give different instructions to, and we don't compare. We're just following Christ, and we all have authority, and we're all seeing miracles because what happens, and this is where I want you to see this. The Holy Spirit is not Casper. He is not some little angel or little thing on our shoulder trying to keep us out of trouble. He is the third leg of the Godhead, the Trinity. He is God. And when He comes, He opens up the entire checkbook of supernatural when He shows up. That's why when I follow Him and I do what He says, I am unlocking a realm that I could never unlock. Yes. I'll see things I could never see before. Because I'm following the supernatural Lord. Amen. He does supernatural things. When I follow Him, this kingdom becomes subject to his kingdom. I release the power. How many of you have been healed by the power of the Holy Spirit, either in your heart or in your mind, your soul, your body? How many? Lift your hand. How'd you make that happen? You didn't. You know how you made that happen? You just got in the presence of the one who just does that stuff. That's who he is. He does things like, he opens up the pie. Well, all I got is these 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, with me, that's enough. You know, my son said this first service, and I wanted to joke with him a little bit. He said, me with Jesus is the majority. You know, no, just Jesus is the majority. It ain't about me at all. I don't bring nothing to the table. But that's the great joy of it. And I want you to hear this now. He invites me to come along and experience what he's doing, which changes me every time. He's walking around every day. Today, some of you, he's asking you to follow him. And you know the specific thing he wants you to do. When you follow the Spirit is supernatural. And we release and unlock the kingdom of God to invade the kingdom of this world, and we see miracles. Now, let me say a couple things, and we're going to pray. I read an article by Barner. He said, why people are falling away from church. And they did this survey of millennials and people that are falling away from churches. And here was their top 3 things. It's not relevant to me. They didn't have a good explanation of evolution. First of all, I had Alan, is it Wiederman? My scientist, my government scientist, who's smarter than all of us put together. He's freaky smart. He's like, he starts explaining something to me. I'm like, whoa. Okay, you lost me about 3 sentences ago. Just stop. I take your word for it. He'll tell you, true scientist without an agenda. He says all of them. He goes to all these national meetings. None of them believe in evolution. He said none of them. They have totally proven it wrong. It cannot happen. He said, now they won't publicly come out and say that because they'll lose their job, be ridiculed, and all, or they'll have to admit there was something bigger than us at work. He says, I'm in the room with them. They all know. Now, the ones with an agenda, he said, now there is, he said, things evolve according to their climate. He said, but there's no way scientifically it could have ever happened that we came from slime. No way. He said, no scientist believes that. But see, here's the problem. They don't believe in the Bible. Here's the problem with those 3 arguments. Everybody look at me. I want you to get this. If I've got to convince you with an argument, you're just as strong as the next argument or the next guy that's a little bit better than me. Let me tell you why I follow Jesus. Because I've had experiences with the risen Lord, and you can't explain them. And a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. You can talk to me all you want. You can throw up scientific proof. You can throw up all the crap you want to, and I'll just sit there and drink tea and let you wear yourself out, because I've had experiences with a supernatural God. I've seen him do stuff that I cannot explain. They cannot explain. Doctors cannot explain. I've seen the doctor walk in the cell when they open him up and put him back together and say, he's got just a few weeks to live. And then 6 weeks later, they can't find the cancer at all. And the doctor said, don't you blankety blank tell me they can't find the cancer. I saw it with my eyes. Well, that was 20 something years ago. He's still around kicking. See, when you experience, and that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. I am not trying to get you to experience an argument. I'm trying to get you to understand Jesus is still saying the same words. Follow me. Follow me. And when you do that as, I don't need anything, but God, I'm going to follow you. When you do that, you unlock and you begin to have stories to tell. You begin to have experiences. God begins to come real to you. Then you can't even explain it. But people begin to see the change in you. I can't explain how God wrote the Bible. And between all those hundreds and thousands of years, and it all works out right. I don't even want to attempt to it. I'm going to stop there. I want to tell you a story because I feel led. We're supposed to pray. The hurricane got me thinking. I knew I was preaching. I had several other stories that I read, like that story about that mother who put together that data bank that now is bringing miracles to all over the world. I had several stories like that, but I got to dwelling on it. I got to thanking the Lord. I got to watching that hurricane. I got to watching how it stalled. I was slow, you know. And you know that the Weather Channels, they got to breed fear. You know, fear sells. And so they're going to make it the worst thing that's ever happened. So because they're trying to tell us places heating up, you know, whatever. I ain't worried about global warming. Can I tell you, I'm just not worried about it. I told my sons yesterday, I said, you know, global warming might be a good thing for us. Because if they, you know, of course they all, I don't know. I don't even care. Do you realize that Picayune? I mean, if global warming happens and the calves up, we might be sitting on beachfront property. I might be one of them guys that own a condominium on the beach. That's neither here nor there. I'm sorry. I digress. All right. Here's what happened. I remember Katrina. And if you wasn't around during that time, but I remember coming down that day and looking at the devastation. And here's what the Lord told me to do. And Jamie was here first because I called her. And a lot of you have experienced it. You were here. Dan, Bob, y'all. The Lord said, take care of your people. Follow me. And he said, take care of your people. Well, who can prepare for that kind of thing? So we set up. God sent Convoy of Hope to help us for a little while. Then they left. And we were running 2,000 or 3,000 cars a day through our parking lot. And I remember living here because, see, I didn't even worry about my own house. My roof was gone. I had water in it and all that stuff. I'll tell you another story. You know, I had to stay down here. We stayed here. We served. We worked our butts off all day long serving people because God said, come on, we're going to take care of the community. I remember the first time it happened. I looked out there and said, man, Lord, we ain't got nothing to give out. I'll never forget that moment because I thought about calling the police and telling block A, block the parking lot and all that stuff. I just didn't know what to do, but I couldn't help in my spirit. I remember standing in the children's room, because that's where we were staying, looking out that window going, there were no trucks out there. There was nothing to give. And I kept feeling in my spirit, just follow me. Just follow me. Woke up the next morning about 4:30. And I walk out there, and there are three trucks out there parked, ready to be unloaded. We all learned how to drive forklifts. And the next night, two or three would show up. And the next night, finally, I got curious. You know, I said, Lord, I went and asked the truck drivers, how did you find us? How did you know to come in our parking lot and park like that? How did you? Every one of them gave the exact same answer. Said, man, we're coming from Kansas. We're coming from California. We're coming from Texas. We're coming from Ohio. He said, we stopped at a truck stop in Memphis, and there was this trucker there. And he gave us the exact address and my phone number. And so I started asking Jamie and Richard, who do we know in Memphis? And here's where it got weird. They started showing up from different truck stops. One was on the west side, one was on the east side. And I said, describe the guy to me. And it was the same guy. Same outfit. He said, man, he just heard us talking. He said, well, hey, you look for a great place to go. Let me write this down for you. He gave me your address, told me what to do, how to park it. God, because we followed him, God sent an angel. Dressed like a truck driver. And you go, oh, Brother Allen, that was just coincidence. There's some explanation. Well, live in your sorry, depressed state. Do you understand that we followed him? We unlocked him to send some angels out to do business for us. We unlocked something, and the Holy Spirit said, when you follow me, I come in behind. Well, Lord, he's told the disciples, you feed them. I want you to feed them. And one of the disciples said, and you can feel in the scripture how pitiful he is. He just said, you know, Lord, I mean, how much money would take? Look, all I got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Here, you can have those. And the Holy Spirit came in behind that thing, and whoosh, and all of a sudden, a miracle that could not be denied. There are miracles waiting to happen, just waiting for you to make your move, to follow him. There are miracles waiting. Little ones, big ones, you have no idea where God will take you. You have no idea what God will do through you. You think that mama, that started that data bank really thought in 2018, she's probably dead now, that they're still using that data bank? Millions of kids have been saved because of that blood marrow transplant. You think she knew that, saw that? No. That's the Holy Spirit. And when you follow him and you're aware, all of a sudden you'll see that little guy in the tree and the Holy Spirit will go, that one. I want you to help that one. Well, Lord, don't debate. Immediately follow him. And you unlock miracles. Now here's their issue. Come on, Brother Ty. Here's it. Everybody look at me. See, some of you say, well, Brother Allen, I'm hurting. I'm broken. I'm needy. Brother Allen, I got fear. I promise you, when you become a conduit for the goodness of God and the healing of God, that stuff gets on you too. You'll find yourself getting healed without even asking. You'll find yourself getting touched without even asking. If you'll follow Him.